three-part series on branding.
Getting yourself a sponsor.
There's no one better at branding from a corporate standpoint than Beyonce.
On today's episode of Corporate Homie.
Managing your brand.
What does my social media tell you about me?
But that doesn't feel very private.
Hey, oh, wise one, help me.
Hey, homies.
What's up, homies?
Welcome back to the Corporate Homie Podcast.
Welcome back.
Woo woo. So today's podcast episode is a continuation, part two in the branding series. And we're going to discuss managing your brand.
Yeah. So last episode, we talked about how to create your brand and what were the elements or components of the brand. So if you haven't had a chance to listen to episode 61, you may want to go back and listen to that one. And now we're going to focus on how to manage or maintain a brand once you have been mindful about how you created it. And the next episode in the series will be on rehabilitating your brand if necessary.
So when I think about managing a brand, the biggest, you know, kind of ongoing positive brand with the most longevity that I can think of that strikes me is like the Ritz-Carlton. The Ritz-Carlton has been around for, you know, I think hundreds of years, and it has always meant the same thing. It does not change. Superior service, luxurious, superior service. I mean, that is what they're known for. They never let you down. No one ever stays at the Ritz and thinks that was a Hilton experience.
Isn't that the truth? I love me the Ritz, and you're right. I have loved them forever. I've never had a bad Ritz experience. In fact, I love the Ritz so much, I've incorporated some of the Ritz experience into my own home. Like, I stayed at the Ritz one time in New Orleans. They had this amazing scent, you know, percolating through the hotel, and I thought, I need that scent at my home.
So Demetria has scent machines at her home.
Just like they do with the Ritz.
Right. But so I think that that's a great example of, but that doesn't happen by accident. That happens because they are constantly hiring people who have bought in, who believe that help them manage the brand.
You know, that makes me think about a funny meme I saw this last week.
Right.
And talk about managing your brand. And the meme said something like Chick-fil-A. And it was like, it's a beautiful 82 degrees at Chick-fil-A. My name is Demetria. How can I help you? And then it said, McDonald's.
Go ahead.
And it was so funny because that's the way we all understand their brands. We understand that Chick-fil-A hires people who care about my day. They care about the sun, the birds chirping, they're walking with the Lord, they're passing out God chicken, right? They got Jesus chicken at
God
Chick-fil-A,
chicken. Yeah.
Right? And you're like, I'm here for it. And McDonald's has a brand of like, who gives a care?
She's trying to
throw you a burger as you go, and you'd be lucky if you got your order, you didn't get the order from the car behind you. So I think that is such a great example, and you should do the same thing at work. You should think about, who is the person at work, your favorite colleague or your favorite client, somebody that you think they always have their stuff together, and sort of, you know, what skills and attributes do they possess, and why do you think you're drawn to them and other clients or colleagues are drawn to them?
And how can I take some of those attributes and put it into my own practice, you know, for my own brand? And so my very first tip for managing your brand is exactly what we're talking about, which is why I set it up that way, is you have to be intentional about what your brand is going to be. And you've got to make a plan and think through those steps and execute and evaluate. What I mean by that is, and your brand can't be something like, I'm a winner, because you're going to lose sometimes. Like, there is no lawyer that is winning every case. Or as we say at the bank, if you've never had a loan go bad, you're not taking enough risk.
You're not pitching enough.
Right.
You're not making enough pitches.
Yeah, you're not taking enough risk. So that can't be your brand. Your brand has to be something like, no one is going to outwork me. I'm going to be the most responsive. I'm going to bring creative ideas to the client. Those kind of things have got to be what your brand is. Like if somebody were to ask you, what is my brand? I would tell them that, as one of my clients said about me, I execute with military type precision. That was the best compliment I've ever heard a client say. And then that I try to take complex things and give them back to you in a Fisher Price way.
That's interesting. So I think I've never thought of that, but I think that I have done that. I have been very thoughtful about what are the three things I want people saying, or the two things you have that you want people saying about you. And then because you won't be able to formulate a plan without thinking about what do you want the topic statement to be. I think that's a great point. When I think about managing my brand, I also think about my supervisors and what they are going to be doing. And so oftentimes and most times, that means I'm going to need to manage them. Right? I have to manage
all the time. That means you're going to have to manage them.
Right? How am I going to get my supervisor or my manager or my boss to positively promote me? And you know, how am I going to get him or her or people that are in the room to be not only just thinking well of me, but willing to outwardly express that to others? And so I definitely think about that. And for me, what I've done in my career is to be the person who goes above and beyond for them. And so one of the ways I always try to manage up is to, you know, I like to say you go the extra mile because it's never crowded there. So I am literally the person who walks in, when I was a young associate, who walked into the conference call that we're about to call and handed my supervisor the person's direct dial on a sheet of paper. Here's who we're calling. Even though I knew she or he may have that number, look at me. I'm helping you. It's a beautiful day. It's 82 degrees. Good morning. We're calling Bimitra. She's the senior vice president at Wells Fargo. Here's the dial in.
Right. And I tell you this is so important, because right now this is the first time that we've had in some organizations four generations of people working in the workplace. And so, as I always like to say, just our idea of like what working hard is means different things to those generations. And one of the things that I think work is a lot like the five love languages. You can't just communicate with your boss in the way that you like to communicate because you like to text, or you have to communicate to your leadership and your boss. I mean, if you want them to say good things about you in the organization, you have to give it to them in a communication medium that they can understand and that they like. So I work with a lot of boomers, right? So that's not going to be email for them. That's not certainly not going to be text messaging. That is going to be a conversation, either face-to-face or on the phone. And I see a lot of young people struggle because they want to communicate at work the way that they communicate with their friends, and that's not always effective managing up.
You know, it's funny you say that, because I have this lately happening where people are sending me text messages about work things that I don't want to do business by text. Like, I'm literally like, I got your email, I saw your email, don't send me the same information in a text 5 minutes later. I don't do business by text, but maybe that's because I'm a Gen X.
I don't do a lot of things by text because I am a Gen Xer, and I hate text, and the same reason why I don't like email, in that I feel like you can't hear tone. And so to me, things come across as being more short or assertive. And so, as I like to say, we communicate in person or on the phone, and we document through email. But I'm a Gen Xer.
Oh, I love that.
The next tip I would say, as much as you need to be intentional and communicate with your managers, you got to do the same thing with your colleagues. If you don't have a good working relationship across the aisle, especially with the superstars in your organization, it's going to be tight on you.
Yes. And I think people really underestimate sometimes the importance of having good relationships with your peers. We talked about this some in the preparing for your internship episode as well. Like, those are the people you're going to see the most going forward in your career. But also, like you said, with the superstars, sometimes you're not getting, you know, the quality time you want with the manager.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and the superstar is. So that could be an avenue where you use, you know, Josh, who is having cigars and, you know, scotches with the boss every Friday evening, you get to be cool with Josh. And now Josh, maybe Josh invites you and you get to come, or maybe Josh is calling your name so you get invited. But it is a way to sort of use a colleague to help manage your brand.
No question. And what I found is that I don't want to make a sweeping generalization, but most people don't mind you telling them how great they are.
No, they and don't. So I never tire of it.
And so when you do that, it sticks out. And, you know, and so I can remember we were working on a deal and we had a guy who was not the easiest person underwriter to work with, but because he had small children, he always got in at like 7:30 in the morning and then he would leave at like, you know, 4:30 for the day. And I don't keep those hours. So I would leave him things in the evening to do before I left with a note that said something like this: you're so much smarter than me at this, and you always bring incredible insight. Would love to get your thoughts on how to structure this, blah, 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 to see if they are in line with mine. And by the time I get to my desk at 8:45,
He had done it
and like written out, you know, like this, that, and the other. And I remember I was talking to one of my colleagues and she was like, I'm not doing that. That's his job. Blah, 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 blah. I was like, okay, well, your stuff ain't going to get done.
Did he get your work done? Like, did he get your work done? Because he worked in a truncated schedule. Did he get your work done?
Because good luck to I'm all you. Over him telling him he's smarter than me and that's why I need his help. This is complex work.
I call that the Obi-Wan Kenobi. I will start with that in a minute. Hey, oh, wise one, help right. me. Like you said, like, get your work done.
As my friend okay, Eric always says, coach me up.
Exactly. Deal me in.
Shuffle me down.
That's a different world reference for those of you who are not a Liggins twin. Okay, so I think the next one in managing your brand is managing down. I know I have made it a point not just to be nice to staff, because I actually don't have to make it a point to be nice to staff, because I think I'm just generally that person. We talked about this in the Creating Your Brand episode, who is like, hey, how's your daughter, blah, blah, blah. But I am also, I know that a part of my brand, and I have done this intentionally, is when support staff goes out of their way to help me, I acknowledge it. So, for example, we had to clear one time like 90,000 conflicts, and that took... I mean, that just took an extraordinary amount of teamwork from a lot of our support staff, long nights, weekends, you know, and it was just a very tedious process. And so for when it was over, I remember I went and got everyone on the team out of my own pocket, mugs from, I have this mug. It's one of my favorite mugs, actually, which is why I gave it to them, because it was something that I personally loved, which was a mug with my initial on it. And I got each one of them a mug with their initial on it. And then the partner I was working with thought it was such a good idea. Then she bought them out of her pocket a Starbucks card. And so we were able to give them the, like, thank you for working so hard on this project. Here's a coffee mug and a gift certificate for some coffee. And I remember somebody else sort of said to me what your person said was like, well, I'm not doing anything like that. I mean, that's their job. And I thought, well, it is their job, but not to do it with, you know, with a joy, not to do it without the attitude, not to be meticulous about it. And so I just really wanted to thank them in a way to say, I saw the hard work you put in.
And I think that's so key. It's such a great point, because all, you know, everything for me comes back to a team sports analogy. And to me, the support staff are the people on the team who are setting, if it's basketball, they're setting all the screens, they're getting all the rebounds, they're playing a lot of defense, but they're not getting the steals, but they're playing great defense. And that person's name never gets in the paper. That person doesn't get the game ball. They don't get that shine. And so just saying, hey, I every week I try to find something positive that my associate or my assistant did with me, so I can say, hey, we had a great week. Thank you so much. High five. Because when there's big deals closed and large revenue, their name isn't in the email. It's like, Bimitra and so and so killed it today. They brought in $14 million,
and you
can't do it without them. So if we need to give them that shine, you need to let them know that they are appreciated. Yeah.
Yes. And then of course you cannot manage your brand without talking about social media.
No, it's not possible.
Right. So at a bare minimum, you need to Google yourself.
You'd be surprised what comes out about you. You know, I've Googled myself and it hasn't necessarily been anything negative, but it'll be like how much me and Quincy paid for our house in 2002. You know, you're just like.
Well, you know, it's so interesting you say that because when I just changed accountants and I was getting my taxes done and he gave me a form to get my house off of HCAD, right? He was like, why in the world would anybody want people to know what you paid for your house? Like, you don't have to have that. Because what he did is he showed me and we looked up the Bushes. And I thought, he's right. We shouldn't be able to look up a former
president of the United States.
How the Harris County appraisal district is appraising their home. Like, that just shouldn't be publicly available information. And so, you know, it doesn't have to be something negative. It could just be something that, like, that just ain't y'all's business. Let's edit that. Let's take care of that. And then there's good old fashioned, like, that's the internet. And then there's good old fashioned, like, social media.
Hello, somebody. And social media is important because it's the content that, for the most part, you're putting up. You're creating that brand.
Yes.
And I let me say this. We have lots of friends. We've lived all over the world. People put things up that we're always like, ooh, wow, wouldn't do that. Or Demetra is much better and more diplomatic than me in this way. And she'll say, well, you know, it's not something that I would do.
Right.
Suns up, buns up.
The thing that I would say is be responsible with it. Like, think about yourself. Think about if I'm asking someone to mentor me, I friended them on social media, is this a post that forget if I friended them. If I've asked someone to mentor me and they see this post, am I going to be someone that I think that they want to invest in? If I'm asking a client to give me, you know, to manage billion-dollar deals, is this something I'm going to be a post I'm proud of? Like, for example, for me, I don't put up swimsuit shots. For those two reasons. But I follow people who I think are incredibly professional, who put up swimsuit shots, and I think it works for them. But a lot of them are in sales. I feel like that's a completely different, even though they are corporate, I feel like sales is a different thing. You can sort of have that sort of, I hate to say this, but I think you can have that sort of vibe about it, and it doesn't hurt you in closing deals and things like that. But in my line of work, I feel like me in a bikini at Coachella.
I
would like to go.
I feel the exact same way. And then, you know, with me being in wealth management and working in the private bank, I would never put anything up about my clients. And I see other bankers putting things up like, you know, went to, you know, a client's fundraiser, and they won't call the name, but they'll give enough details that if you wanted to back yourself into
it, who it is.
You could. And I think to myself, well, that doesn't feel very private. You know, that.
Oh, right. And we're private bankers. Yeah, I haven't thought about that.
That doesn't feel very private.
I keep my clients private. Oh, hello, somebody. Learn me something. Right. I keep my clients private.
So you will never hear me saying, like, underwriting a plane for a family here in Tampa. Like, that's just not appropriate, you know. And I see people doing that, you know, giving out, I feel, too much business detail.
Yes. And so I just think when you're managing any brand, you really need to think about, is my social media professional and personal? How many professional friends do I have? What do I think this post says about me? I will say social media has been such a positive in my professional life because, you know, Demetrius talked about this before. I love this hashtag, like, gone speaking. And so because of that, I've gotten speaking opportunities. So that's where social media can be positive. So I don't want to make it seem like social media doesn't have a positive impact on your brand. It does. You just need to be intentional.
And if you're not sure, I think a great exercise would be to, because I don't know if you can do it objectively, but ask a colleague or a friend, give them your phone and say, hey, this is my Instagram page or this is my Facebook page. Scroll through this. Tell me what do you get? You know, do you get party girl? Do you get loving family man? Do you get golfer? What do you get? Community engaged community advocate. What do you get?
Yeah. I did that once I started, because I'll be frank, I didn't think about social media as a part of our brand until a couple years ago and someone started saying stuff like that. And so what I did, because I think to your point, is ask somebody just a step removed from me. So I asked one of my closest friends.
Husbands.
Husbands, what he thought about my brand. Because She's my homie and we're cool. So I knew he would be more likely to be more honest. Like, okay, because we're Facebook friends and, you know, Instagram friends. And I was just sort of like, what, like you said, what does my social media tell you about me? So I think that's like, just pick somebody that's just that one step, as you would always say, go one step out of your inner penumbra to do that.
All right. The next step in managing your brand is your community involvement. You know, whether that's, you know, professional associations like the bar or MBA or, you know, CPA. Association of Accountants. This is important because a lot of times, you know, we see homies take on too much in the community and then they don't execute well. And it may be the only professional or glimpse of professionalism that people have of you. And now, positive or negatively, that's what... And we have totally seen that happen. I remember many, many years ago, I had a friend that was asked to present to Black MBA. And we didn't have a robust Black MBA chapter, but he completely blew the presentation off and did not do a good job. And then everybody thought that he was bad at his job after that.
Right. Because that's what he had showed them. Right. That he, and I think people do that. I think people think, oh, I'm going to agree to be corresponding secretary for, you know, the NSN chapter. And then you always forget to check the mailbox, or when you check the mailbox, you know, like it, like you said, you're delayed in checking it. So now the correspondence is all for March and it's May. If we missed the opportunity to buy an ad or whatever. And you think, well, people know I have a full-time job, because I heard somebody say that recently. Like, you guys will have to excuse me. I have a full-time job.
You're like, we all do.
And I sat there and thought, we all have full-time jobs. But what we all think is that you're not prioritizing this in the way that we are, because we're here on time. We're doing what we were assigned. And so, like you said, people don't leave the situation thinking, oh, if she was a corresponding secretary for something in her job, she would be great. What they leave is thinking like, girl, she played too much. She can't never get over there and check that mail. She is
conversely,
not about
when you knock it out the park, they think we should be looking at her to come over to our organizations, or it wouldn't surprise me if she gets promoted soon, like because you did such a good job with it.
Or people like, I might want to meet her to be my private banker, because, I mean, she was just such a good correspondent secretary for the NSN chapter. Do you know what I mean? Like, so she must be about her business with this private banker, because she's about her business with the correspondent secretary.
And then sometimes that turns into word of mouth, because somebody that sits on the board goes to church with her, somebody in leadership within your organization. And that can be positive or negative, like we said. The point that we're making in this whole managing your brand is that it's all intertwined, that it's not siloed.
Right, and so that takes us to our final point in managing your brand, which is stay in touch with your people, with your network, and all of your network.
This is one of my favorite points, because I know people who think that just because they have somebody's cell phone number, they don't have to contact them for 2 years.
Oh, my God.
And that relationship is intact.
And that's going to be good.
And my thing is, like, you don't even carry that way within a sorority or fraternity or your team.
I heard somebody say that recently. I was talking to a young man. He had just, I won't say just, he's probably been in his role now for like 3 years. And so his boss, the person who hired him into that role, got a huge promotion. Well, not even promotion, got a huge job with another organization, and now is living in another city. And so I was saying to him, like, hey, you know, you should really make sure.
Because that dude is the, you know, president of the so-and-so in Chicago now.
He's rising. He's taking it to the top, right? He's taking it to the top. And he said to me, like, I was being silly, like, oh, I have his cell phone, okay?
You're like, but if you're not utilizing it and cultivating that relationship, how good is that? How good is that cell phone number going to be? Is it even going to be accurate 3 years later?
Because I thought to myself, you better than me, because I'd make it a point to
at least annually
once a year, so that I could see him and have a cup of coffee, so that I could make sure the relationship
maintain and cultivate it.
I was maintaining it, right? Managing, but not just he and the celly. Now I'm good. Holler.
Why? It's just like. The things that people say, you're like, okay. I hope that works.
Okay.
And may the odds forever be in your favor.
Good luck with that. So, yes. So, I think we've done a good job of sort of telling you about how to manage your brand. stick with us with this series. We're going to come back next time and talk about when you make a mistake and how to rehabilitate your brand, because we all have done that. We all will do that. And like I said, if you have not listened to the episode before this, which is on creating your brand,
and then drop us a note or drop us a line and let us know if you're implementing any of these tips, or if you have something that's slightly different that's working for you. We'd love to hear from you. You can always reach us on all things social, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Corporate Homie, HOMIE.
Right. And if you have questions or topics you want covered, email us at questions@corporatehomie.com. And if you want us for speaking engagements, email info@corporatehomie.com. Thanks for listening. Until next time,
hustle hard, homies.
All of you, get you a twin. Get you another homie.